If you're one of those who's been following the blogs and Googling Henry McCabe and trying to figure out what happened, because there's so many people out there speculating on what could have happened to Henry. What I'm going to provide you, what makes me different and this podcast different than anyone out there, including the police department, who didn't even do an investigation, including ABC News and all these other outlets, is that I have evidence, recorded conversations with Kareen McCabe, and that's Henry's wife. Now, these conversations, over 30 hours worth of conversations with her, I'm going to release to you, and you're going to hear in each one of my episodes how her story changes, how things don't sound right. Does she have a motive? Well, I'm going to leave that up to you. In fact, let me give you something right now. Let me bring it up on the screen that I find very... How would you call this? Where is it at? I'm going to kind of, it might bother you and scare you a little bit. Is it over here on this monitor? I'm talking to my producers there. Hold on. Bring it up. Here we go. Now, what's scary, and I just looked at the date. I don't know if my producers noticed this. I'm recording this on September 7th. 2020, exactly 5 years to this day, Henry McCabe came up missing. In fact, it is 3:34 a.m. on the East Coast. So we're talking not just 5 years, but we're down to the hour he came up missing. Now, I want you to read something. Now, when the police, and you see it all the time in the movies where people come in and the police come in and say, okay, they look at the spouse first. And did the spouse have a motive? Okay, let me tell you what you're going to hear in the up and coming episodes. And I want you, and I'm going to read off something that I'm skipping ahead by reading this, but I think it's very important for you to know this. You're going to hear, and I guess I should start how I even got into this investigation. One of our subsidiaries is called hackerforhire.com. It's been around for over 10 years. If you looked up the DNS, hey, we registered it, is it 10 years or more than that? And what Hacker for Hire does, or is where people come to when they need help and can't go anywhere else. Now, a lot of people call up and they ask for illegal services. They want to know, can we hack into a bank? Can we change their college grades, their transcripts? People want to know, can you fix their credit? We get people from Iran, numerous times, not just Iran, but other countries as well, wanting us to help them funnel money. We've had drug cartels where there was a kidnapping and somebody was kidnapped and they were communicating with the person via Skype and wanted to know, and this was years ago, wanted to know, can we trace it via the IP address? A lot of our clients are athletes, entertainers, when they're being blackmailed for some of the stuff that they've done, cyber extorted. We get a lot of those that come through, not just through hackerforhire.com, but through High Tech Crime Solutions, National Cybersecurity. All of those are subsidiaries of National Cybersecurity Ventures. Well, to get back to the story, it was it September? I'll tell you right now, I'll look it up and I'll tell you exactly when it was. Kareen McCabe contacted us back in was it a week after her husband came up missing. Now, this is the crazy part. When she calls the office, and this is how God works. And I don't know if you guys believe in God, but I do. And he brings people in your life for a reason, season, and a lifetime. On this particular day, Hacker for Hire, all right, it's not a company itself, it's just a division, because a lot of times when people are having problems and they're legitimate problems and they don't know where to go, they'll get on the internet and they'll Google Hacker for Hire. We were the first ones out there. And then all these other ones jumped out after they saw me on CNN talking about the Hacker for Hire type services. And then all these other people just came out of the woodwork. So anyways, on this particular day, all the people that normally man the Hacker for Hire desk was in training to learn how to do penetration testing, where you hack into a company hires you to hack into a computer and you try to get in there and, you know, show them all their vulnerabilities. Well, I was in their office looking for something and the phone rings. I answered the phone. I'm not going to pass up money. Not at all. It's my company. So I answered the phone. Now, everyone in our company, everyone answering the Hacker for Hire line calls themselves Dawn. We have females that work for us as well. It was a neutral name. Dawn could be a male's name like Dawn, Donald, or Dawn as a female. But we called it Dawn, D-O-N, if you're the male. And then if people ever ask, what's your last name? We always gave them Dawn T-H, right? Or Hackamy, H-A-C-K-M-E. So Dawn Hackamy. And what that really stands for is if you put it together with the middle initial T, don't hack me. So when I answer the phone on this particular call, I answer it as Dawn. And there was a female voice on the other line, and she said her name was Kareem, and she wanted to speak to a computer hacker about help in finding her husband who came up missing. I was like, okay, we've worked on missing cases before. We worked with private investigators. We've worked with attorneys. It's not a problem. Tell us more about the case. So she tells me that she and her husband, a loving couple, no problems in their relationship. She was in California at the time, and Henry was supposed to be packing up and he was going to be moving back out to California to be with her. And that he went out over Labor Day weekend and he came up missing and nobody knows where he is. He didn't have his car. He hasn't been back at the house. The kids were with his cousin or niece babysitting at the time when he went out. And this is before they found his body. So I'm having this conversation with her and she supplies some information. She sounds like, you know, she's telling the truth. Now, the next day when I speak to her, she tells me something that contradicts what she told me the day before, which was she was monitoring his cell phone. And being an ex-hacker and owning a cybersecurity company, I asked, how are you monitoring his cell phone? I put spyware on his phone. Well, hold on. You had spyware on his phone? Now, I want everyone to hear this. You're going to hear in the conversation several times about us talking about the spyware on her phone and how she knew everything about Henry. Now, when she said this to me, a light bulb goes off in the back of my head. Why would a loving couple put spyware, or I should say, why would a loving wife put spyware on her husband's phone unless he wasn't the man that she described the day before. So she said she was able to track him all the way up to the week before he disappeared. Because the week before he disappeared, he erased the spyware off his phone. I asked her, how long was the spyware on his phone? And she said, I had it on there for a couple of years. Hold on, pump your brakes. You had spyware on your husband's phone for a couple of years? And you said that you guys were a loving couple? And you also said that the week before he came up missing, he erased the spyware off the phone? That doesn't sound right. So we go in and we start questioning her. And I want you to hear this. Not right now, because I'm about to say a couple other things. So I'm like, okay, there's more to this story. Now I'm intrigued. And I go talk to the team when they come, because they're back the next day. This is the next day after the first call. And we're talking about it. Now, since I took the call, I don't want to pass the call on. So I give her a number to reach us on. And it's actually a Google number I gave her, not our main office number, because I don't know what I'm dealing with. But why would she do that? And I'm giving you, and I may sound long-winded because I'm giving you a little background here, but I want you to understand something. And I'm jumping ahead when I said this earlier, so let me stay focused on this. She had plenty of motive. They weren't the loving couple that everybody claims that they were. Well, I'll take that back. Everybody didn't claim that they were. The only person who claimed that they were a loving couple was Kareem. And that was the first couple of days, because I ended up busting her out about it. But Henry had taken Kareem off his life insurance policy. Henry wanted a divorce. Now, what I am telling you right now is not rumor. It is not speculation. I'm giving you the facts. If you go to hackerforhiremurders.com, you will see text messages, Google Maps. You're going to see what I'm about to post right now, where it talks about his insurance policy. And that Henry took his, there was nobody on his insurance policy at all. I'm going to also play some audios in a couple of minutes of a woman whose husband is missing. He has not been found yet, is missing. And she's giggling. She's having, like, she's toying with Henry's family about she knows something, but she can't share it. But I want to read something to you. Now, this is from Minnesota Life on December 4th, 2015. Now, Henry came up missing September 7th, 2015. His body was discovered a month later in October. We'll go over that in a minute. Now, the estate, this is what it reads. The estate of Henry McCabe, policy number 7166 and 28736, state of Minnesota. Claim number 1155839, insured Henry McCabe. And then it goes on to say, to whom it may concern, we received notice of your claim for life insurance benefits. Please accept our company's condolences on your loss. A beneficiary was not named for this coverage. Now, did you hear what I just said? Not named for this coverage. Now, your spouse, you're married. Why wouldn't your name be on, the spouse's name be on the life insurance policy? Now, according to her, they were a loving couple. But I'm going to tell you what she did after I finish reading this. as a result, we must pay any benefits according to the priority listing in the policy as follows: spouse, children, parents, estate. Now, you will hear Timothy McCabe, and Timothy McCabe is Henry's older brother. Henry had told Timothy and his mother in the family that he was leaving Corrine and that he's taking her off the life insurance, and he's putting his mother on the life insurance, so if anything happens to him, that his mother will have money and be able to take care of the two girls. So he removed her name from the life insurance policy. Now, you're going to hear later, and it's the coldest thing ever. Once Henry's body, when Henry came up missing, Corrine supposedly flew out the following week to go to Minnesota. Now, I say that, I can't prove it yet, but you're going to see why I say this. She was in town before Henry came up missing. She wasn't in California. You're going to hear her say several times, all you got to do is just check my cell phone and you'll see that it was pinging off the cell phone towers in California and I wasn't in Minnesota. She was using a Google number. You can leave your main cell phone in another state, put Google number on your other cell phone, a burner phone, and when people are still calling that Google number, it will ring no matter where you are. But when the police come in with a warrant and take a look at what's her phone number, she gives them the main number to her cell phone. They check the towers. They see that it's there in California. I'm telling you, it's been done a million times. No one even thinks that this person may have a Google number or a secondary number. So, I don't even know if her friends and family know about this secondary number. They may have, because we do have two phone numbers for her, a main number and a Google number. She was communicating mostly through her Google number with us. Now, later on in our conversations where I was going with this, when she was at Henry's house, she was on his computer and she has all his usernames and passwords, and the ones that she didn't have, she was able to do forgot password and reset a lot of his accounts, including his insurance account. I'm on the phone with her. When she got into the insurance company and put her name on the life insurance policy. She put her name on the life insurance policy. This is what's happening here. Now you have Henry who wants a divorce. You have Henry who takes her name off the life insurance policy and is going to put the parent on there. And according to Minnesota Life, the payout is spouse, children, parents. That's how it is. Unless he had designated someone else. Now, we're not saying this is enough motive. No, not at all. There are so many twists and turns in this story, such as JT. JT is a friend, okay, of Corrine. Corrine is from Northern California, right outside of Oakland. JT is from that same area. Now, when Corrine and Henry met, they lived in California. He knew JT. He then moved, when Henry and Corrine had problems, he moved back to Minnesota. Now, they made up, like a lot of spouses, make up to break up. That's all they do. There's a song about it. She follows Henry back to Minnesota. Now, years later. Then all of a sudden, JT moves from Oakland to Minnesota. You'll hear me ask, because it sounds crazy, why would JT follow you across country? Were you guys dating? That's your boyfriend? Because it doesn't make sense that this man will leave hot California to move to cold Minnesota. I mean, you guys could still be friends, long distance, come see each other, visit, but to turn around and move there? And I'm talking about JT right now because the night he came up missing, Henry came up missing, JT was in the club with him. JT had Henry's wallet. Why did he have Henry's wallet? That made no sense. Since when Henry was found, he was found with, what was it? What's the coroner's report say? The autopsy report, the coroner's report said he was found with two $5 bills and five $1 bills in his pocket. Why was JT holding Henry's wallet? You're going to hear about that in this up and coming program. Okay? Now, I don't want to keep you too long. I want you to start hearing some of this for yourself. Such as, does this sound like a grieving wife?
Let's end this stuff.
I mean, if I was going to get it, if I was going
to be honest with you, for nonsense.
Found it by now.
Yes. Yeah, so no, carry it home. A lot of people believe he's alive.
I just want to say this, true. And it's what I said to Sean, and it was probably relayed to David. I can't tell you what I know. However, I do know, based on some evidence that I have, that people have.
You know, we are personally suffering.
Let me say this. Yeah. I understand that you're suffering. Remember, you were on the, you were the one on the prayer line that said that we should pray every day. Remember?
Every day.
Yes, and since then we have prayed every day. That first time we got in the prayer line, it was the 17th of September. We got in the prayer line. We said we were going to fast and pray for 48 hours. The first prayer that we prayed and Lavetta prayed on that line was that God should show us the answer in 7 days. 7 days later, God showed. Exactly. I can't tell anybody. You know why? Because then people would stop looking for it. And I'm going to find my answer. So every Saturday, I go out in the bush when I know he's somewhere else. You know why? Because I'm going to find my husband. I get on the news, and I tell them why. I'm looking for my husband. You know why? Because I'm going to find him.
If you have a place we can find him, let's go find him.
The thing you're not understanding, I know my husband. I understand the way he thinks. I know what he's thinking right now. Why we have to have media attention is because as soon as this dies down, he will feel like it's okay to leave the country.
It is not going to die.
He's still here in America.
You say,
we find him. He
you
is still here in America.
I believe
the Liberian
he's
consulate says that he does not have an ECOWAS passport either under his American name or his Kisi name. I've been monitoring people. I know who's involved. I know who I suspect is involved. I have to be very careful. And I have to make sure that every Saturday I'm out there looking for my husband, because the minute the media thinks that he's alive, they're going to say, why are you guys out here? What are you guys doing?
Yeah, right. We don't.
There was a time around the end of September, I was almost certain.
You know how I'm sorry.
I was almost certain. I knew where he was.
My fast and prayer, and I announced that.
Tell you, hold on, but let me say this. Let me say this. It was around the end of September. You guys were the ones that read to me in the Bible about the guy who fasted for 21 days, and his answer had already arrived, but what? It was stopped by Satan. There is another. going on. I know who my husband would have gone to. The problem is when I gave that into the information to the police, they messed it up. The police messed it up.
If I hadn't told them
what I told them and instead done something else, this would be finished. My husband is not where he was now. I don't know where he is. I have an idea where he is, but I can't say to anyone, not even the police, because until I have proof.
But meanwhile, you see, the whole group is lying pretending we're looking for Henry in the bush and wherever we're looking, knowing, according to you, that he's alive some and well, maybe.
What I have, until I can look my husband in the eyes and say, you idiot, there's still a question. Did something happen to my husband? Until I can look him or take a picture or see a film or hear his voice on the phone, there's still the question.
Okay, so I try not to cuss, but doesn't she sound batshit crazy? Think about it. You heard her in the house talking to Henry's mother and his brother and other family members, and she starts talking like this is some type of conspiracy. Like, I know there's other people that's involved. I'm monitoring these people. You know, every Saturday I go out. Let me just tell you this. She's an attention junkie. That's what she is. Did you hear her say several times that, yeah, we got to keep the media in it? Every Saturday I go out and I want the media and I talk to the media. Yes, that's what she's looking for. She's looking for sympathy. She wants people to feel sorry for her. So, I can't just wrap my head around this. So, I'm not saying that she did it. I'm not. But it doesn't look good. So, with that being said, I'm going to release the 30 hours every week. Different episodes, along with the evidence, Google Maps, text messages. You are not going to believe how she spoke to Henry. That the messages the day he came up missing, even before he came up missing. You're just not going to believe the things that she would say. If Henry went to the bathroom, left his phone in the living room, in the kitchen, and went to the bathroom. She called, and he didn't pick up the phone immediately. She will start sending him these text messages saying, you must be with that bitch. Yeah, you know, you heard her a second ago. She's real Christian-like, right? Oh, yeah, you remember when we had the prayer? You know, I talked to God and all of this. Wait until you see all the text messages. If you haven't seen any of the text messages, make sure you go to hackerforhiremurders.com. You can also follow, I'm going to be posting all these text messages and things of that sort each week also on our Instagram page at hackerforhiremurders. So it's at hackerforhiremurders on Instagram. And the website is hackerforhiremurders.com. You can also listen to us on Spotify. You can listen to us on, what's the other one? Spotify, Apple Music, Google as well, Google Podcast. And I think we might be up and running on Alexa. So I hope we are. That would be great. I think all you have to do is say, Alexa, play Hacker for Hire Murders, and you can get all the episodes and all the evidence. I also want everyone out there to email me. Email me any questions that you may have. I'll read them out loud on the show. If you want to be a guest on the show, not a problem. So send an email to hackerforhiremurders@gmail.com. All right. So tune in to the next episode. It's coming to you in less than 7 days.